So in the time that I have, I'm going to talk about ethics and social media. And judging by the crowd and having been to some of these presentations before, I'm going to assume that there are a relatively, probably less than 50% who are active on social media, at least who talk about law practice and things like that. And I definitely see some folks who are quite active in social media, some of whom, including Dan and Carl, who I met through Twitter, ironically, and we have met in person for the first time today. So the first thing I want to do is just briefly tell you why it matters, because most ethics and social media programs that I've attended have basically been designed to scare the bejesus out of you. And a lot of lawyers, as a result, don't engage in social media, and I think that's a mistake. There are rules that you kind of need to think about, and those are developing kind of as we go along, and we're going to talk about those, but you can't ignore the influence of social media on the law practice, on your clients, on judges, on litigants. These numbers speak for themselves. But let's talk about just some of the basic benefits. There's communities of lawyers who interact very frequently, who send business to each other, who market what they do, of course, in compliance with the ethical rules. Judges are very active. A lot of them, including some of our own judges, are quite active on social media, talking about openness and of the judicial system, about their priorities as a litigant, as an appellate lawyer. One of the first things I do is see if, what's going on social media, just to get a sense of judges' personalities. And by the way, if you're not following Blake Hawthorne on Twitter, that is a huge mistake. Blake is one of the best assets we have in Texas, and he talks all the time about Texas Supreme Court practice on his Twitter feed, and he's amazing. So that's, reason number one to get on Twitter. And these are tweets from late last night, actually. This is a good example of the appellate community on social media. These are high-level justices from around the country who are having an ongoing debate about things like, do they like footnotes and commas and stuff like that, which seems silly. But they also talk about substantive things, about what they like to see in oral argument and briefing, things like that. So there are very, very good reasons to be on social media. Okay. So what's the other half of this, or the much bigger half of this? There are a lot of risks, not the least of which is everything you do and say on social media, you have to assume that everyone's going to see it and it will never go away. So on the good side, you can learn a ton of information about the parties, about your jurors, about your judge, about your opponents, about the other lawyers in your community. On the other hand, in these social media environments, one stray comment, one little battle on Twitter can turn into something that can really damage your reputation or your firm's reputation, and most concerningly, your clients, which is where some of our ethical rules come in. Client confidentiality. One of the problems, I think, with social media is that we tend to see a much higher involvement level from younger lawyers. So the lawyers who are much more experienced with ethical obligations and interacting with clients and representing clients in the public, they tend to be less active in social media. So we have this huge community of younger lawyers coming in and interacting on Twitter and Facebook and all these other platforms who depend on and communicate through social media, but they don't have the experience necessarily that more experienced the lawyers have. Client confidentiality is not just about privileged information. It is about confidential information. It applies to non-privileged information, and if it would harm the client, be to the client's disadvantage, it doesn't matter that it's necessarily public. So a lot of people are like, oh, this is public, no big deal, I'm just going to go out and talk about it. That is very often a really bad idea. And let me show you some examples. These are, and I'm not going to say who sent any of these because, we're going to protect those folks. But this is stuff that's on Twitter all the time. Like people who are actually in the middle of a deposition, taking a break, and saying things like, well, hey, my client just pulled out a bunch of documents that I've never seen before. Oh my gosh. This is not stuff. You should not be live tweeting your depositions. You should not be live tweeting what your client called and said the night before a deposition. This stuff seems like a no-brainer, but I think social media creates a comfort level with strangers that is very seductive and can be very dangerous. People like sharing experiences and stories and war stories, right? But oftentimes those war stories, they're not our experiences to share. They are clients. My rule is, unless I have a client who specifically wants something to be in social media, I do not talk about my cases. I might talk about drafting briefs, but I don't talk about the specifics about what I'm doing unless there is a press release that has been vetted and approved.